This is the Maggie Dawn Show on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. My name is Jim Santel. Maggie has asked me to sit in for guest host this afternoon, this hour, next hour as well. Honored, delighted to do it, to occupy briefly Maggie's wonderful seat here in Civic Media World, and inviting you as well to be a part of our discussion. 855-752-4842 is that telephone number. You can also text us. You can drop a comment into the Civic Media drop box and be a part of the conversation with Cardi and me here on the Maggie Dawn Show on Civic Media. Beginning to talk now about this major thing that Joe Biden has also announced, even if it's simply aspirational, for future climate goals here in the United States of America, announcing this past Thursday an aggressive new climate goal for the United States, saying just this: the country should seek to slash its greenhouse gas emissions, which have, of course, been at the focus of the Paris Accords and many other initiatives, by at least 61% below 2005 levels. Slash it to 61% below 2005 levels by 2035. That's the ambitious but achievable goal that he has announced just this past Thursday. Of course, the target is not binding. It's not legislative. He's not issuing an executive order. And it will, again, in the category of differences in administrations, almost certainly be disregarded by the incoming president. His name, as you know, is Donald Trump. Donald Trump has called global warming a scam. And even in the midst of that, Joe Biden going ahead, announcing his goals for this. 4 years of climate policies from a president who has sought to make global warming a signature of his administration. In a video address from the White House, Joe Biden said that his efforts, including pumping billions of dollars into clean energy technologies and regulating pollution from power plants and automobiles, amounts to the boldest climate agenda in American history. Cardi has for us some sound for what the president has said earlier today in talking about this major, yes, aspirational, but important thing that we should be following in the years ahead.
This week, I'm heading to Peru and Brazil to meet world leaders, and I'll be the first American president to visit the Amazon rainforest. We're going to discuss how we can resolve our toughest global challenges, including climate change, by working together. The United States has been leading that work. And today I want to announce two more investments that will lower the energy costs for hardworking families and help tackle the climate crisis. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is going to award $250 million in rural energy for the American program grants to help over 1,000 farmers and rural small businesses install cost savings, clean energy, and energy efficient improvements all across 40 states. And the Department of Energy will award nearly $18 million to help communities nationwide to save money by improving energy efficiency and reducing dangerous climate pollution. This is a win-win. More jobs, more investment, cleaner air, and lower energy bills. Folks, there's nothing we can't do if we do it together. Let's do it, okay? God bless you all, and may God protect our troops.
That is the president of the United States today from the White House announcing these, not only these aspirational initiatives, but also things that are getting done right now. He still has the authority until noontime on January 20th to do those things that are part of his commission as our president. There's that wonderful portion of the Constitution that talks about taking care of government, taking care of all of us. That's the role that a president should play in his or her one day occupancy of the White House. That's what President Biden is doing today in announcing not only the aspirational portion of what we should do with climate issues in America and on the face of this planet, the goals that he has once again articulated today, but also investing quite literally monies in that. And those things will go out now. Those will establish programs and initiatives to keep us healthier and better in the times ahead. Nothing that an incoming president can do to reverse that. But he can, in fact, reverse these optimistic and achievable goals that the president is announcing today. Again, pledging to cut emissions 61 to 66% below 2005 levels by 2035. It's a significant update of the commitments the United States has already made. The president went on to say today that American industry will keep inventing and keep investing, he said. State, local, and tribal governments will keep stepping up. And together, he said, we will turn this existential threat, a threat, of course, that goes to our very existence, into a once-in-a-generation opportunity to transform our nation for generations to come. That is the commission he has given to all of us. That's the commission he has given, frankly, to the present government, to the future government. We will see if the incoming president lives up to his commitments to reverse that and to go in the opposite direction. That would be a terrible, horrific thing for the policy of the United States government, but also, more importantly, for the planet itself. Joe Biden today going in the opposite direction, saying, I'm doing things practically that will encourage safer environments for all of us. And I'm asking us all, including the future president he's seeing, he's speaking to Donald Trump, too, and his administration, saying, we've got an achievable goal here to keep future generations safe. Mr. Future President, embrace this as well. Last year, we know from this administration, as it reports accurately upon the nature of our problem, emissions were about 17% below 2005 levels. Why? Largely because electric utilities have retired many of their coal plants in favor of cheaper and cleaner gas. Also wind and power source, solar power sources as well. This year, emissions expected, according to the Biden administration, to stay roughly flat. In part because rising electricity demand has led power companies to burn record amounts of gas, and those offset the renewable energy gains. We know as well, already made mention of it in our broadcast this afternoon, of the 2015 Paris Agreement. Every country, including at that time the United States of America, agreed to submit a plan for curbing its greenhouse gas emissions, with the details left up to individual governments. Those pledges then get updated every 5 years. According to the Paris Pact, countries again anticipated to expected to issue a new round of plans before the next United Nations Climate Summit. That's scheduled for November in Brazil. We know, however, that the incoming president has said that he would pull the United States out of that Paris Climate Agreement that Biden put us back into, and he would do what he did in the first term. His spokesperson said in a statement that Donald Trump will once again deliver clean air and water for American families while making America wealthy again. As a part of what the president announced today, a bipartisan coalition of governors across our nation, 24 different states, announced that they also would work together, also sending a message to this incoming administration to try to meet the new goal announced by the president today. Kathy Hochul, of course, as you know, is the governor of New York. She said this new collective goal will serve our North Star, capital N, capital S. And of course, environmental groups are also lauding this and encouraging all Americans to support all of this. Yet, just last month, you recall well the news, the United Nations Climate Summit in Azerbaijan. Several House Republicans warned world leaders there that the United States would not be beholden to international targets like this that are set by an outgoing administration. They took a pre-target move in saying that the United States would expand support for oil and gas under Donald Trump. All of that, as the country continues to wrestle with environmental issues, climate controls, and climate goals announced today by a president who, even in his last days, is advocating for the future of present generations and future generations as well. And speaking of those future and present generations, some major news coming out of Montana. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes running into the courts gets you something out of this. Montana Supreme Court on Wednesday of last week, this is a state court, it's not a federal court, upheld a landmark victory, a major success for, yes, indeed, some youth. The youth leading the way on this, they're climate activists. It affirmed a lower court decision last year by a trial court judge that Montana's, the state's energy policies, the things the legislature put in place there, violated the constitution of that state, violated the constitutional rights of the youth to the plaintiffs in this case, and actually to all people, of course, to a clean environment. Many of the 16 people who brought the case, it's called HELD, H-E-L-D, versus Montana, testified during the course of that trial about the extreme weather that they had witnessed in their own home state. These are youth. These are young people, a major player in oil and gas and coal. Of course, we know that from Montana's history and its present activity. The youth arguing during the course of that successful trial but a state law that barred consideration of climate. Barring consideration of climate in setting energy policy, that state law barring that was itself unconstitutional, inconsistent with the Constitution of Montana. The burning of fossil fuels produces the greenhouse gases that are dangerously warming the world. That's what the advocacy was. Of course, the trial, Supreme Court just this last week, supporting upholding that notion that the energy policies of the state violated Montanans' constitutional right to a clean environment. Cardi has once again got some oral and reporting on exactly what's going on in Montana, coming in the wake of the Supreme Court decision and this important decision made there by the High Court in this case.
One by one, these 16 young activists who've taken on the state are applauded as they head into the courthouse one final time. The group have become local heroes, bringing the first climate case of its kind to trial. The youngest, just 5 years old, here at the back. They argue that their health is being harmed by state policy that favours fossil fuels and that the government has a duty to protect citizens from climate change. Coal-powered plants produce almost half of Montana's electricity. The state argued pollution was insignificant. The judge ruled otherwise.
Montana's emissions and climate change have proven to be a substantial factor in causing climate impacts to Montana's environment and harm and injury to the youth plaintiffs.
This is an unprecedented victory in a U.S. court. The young activists want it to force the state away from using fossil fuels.
I hope that because Judge Seeley ruled our current energy policy unconstitutional, that we might be able to construct an energy policy that's more in line with Montana's goals and constitution.
Though the ruling only affects the state of Montana, lawyers for the group say they believe it may cause a domino effect across the country.
The clearest thing, or at least this initial first step, right, is that as of today, as of this order, it's unconstitutional for the state of Montana to continue permitting fossil fuel business as usual. They must consider the constitutional rights of young people.
State officials have called the ruling absurd. The reverberations from this small group's success could now impact the future energy policy of the whole state.
That's the reporting that Cardi has pulled up here on this trial that today results, last week results, and to this day results in the state Supreme Court upholding the trial findings that indeed those energy policies that do not consider environmental issues, greenhouse gases, they actually violate the Constitution of the state. As you heard there, a spokesman for the state itself, the Attorney General, whose name is Austin Knutson, called the decision disappointing, said the majority of the state Supreme Court justices yet again ruled in favor of their ideologically aligned allies and ignored the fact that Montana has no power to impact the climate. Well, the students there, the young people there, the youth there would beg to differ on all of that. Ricky Held, who is one of the named plaintiffs in the case, she's 23 years old now, testified at trial. She said this ruling is a victory not just for us, but for every other person in America whose future is threatened by climate change. The attorney who represented her and the other plaintiffs in the case says once again, the decision is representative of a future of our children that cannot be sacrificed for fossil fuel interests. All of this, of course, attracting the attention of groups, both pro and con across the nation. The provisions, of course, in the Montana Constitution make this possible for the Supreme Court to issue that kind of an order. It is one of the most strongest positions of the United States Constitutions. When we come back, more about this major environmental case in Montana here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Everyone dancing merrily in the new old-fashioned way.